The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at The Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Zarin, you know it's ridiculous?
Yeah, Elizabeth Dutton, I do. The fact that Pete Davidson and Machine Gun Kelly seem to be in a competition to win the role of young Beetlejuice.
That
is good.
What? That was Siri just saying knowledge is good.
Oh, well, hi, Siri.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Siri.
Well, yeah, that everything that just happened is ridiculous.
Part of our new brand partnership.
Everything that is ridiculous. The other thing that's ridiculous is posing as a psychologist in order to kite checks and scam coin dealers.
Ooh, I like that.
I knew you would. I'm Elizabeth Dutton, and joining me today is America's sweetheart, Zarin Burnett. And this is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. All right, yes. Zarin. Let's first establish that everything is a construct.
What do you mean by that?
Privacy, currency, language, race, identity, reality, television, gravity. Okay, gravity's not,
okay.
Not a construct. But we all buy into a social agreement that, like, our names are our names, money's worth a certain amount, you know, we share whatever the definition of a word is. I point at something, I say that's a table, we agree that,
I go, that's not a chair.
Yeah, right.
I got you. So basically you're saying that our social agreements.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And so con artists are fascinating to me because they operate outside of that construct, operate. I kind of was like pretending to be Australian.
Operate.
Yeah.
You got to operate, see?
And so they do that outside of the construct, but they don't devolve into hurting other people. They don't go that far outside of the social construct.
Oh, I got you, Jim.
So they
just benefit from other people.
Yeah.
They trick them, they con them, but they don't hurt them physically or
right.
mentally or emotionally.
So there are rules that even they won't break.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, for most con artists, yeah.
Well, they have really good insight into human behavior. And
oh, definitely, operators.
Like, the human behavior and the desires, and it's like, sometimes I think that they're even better at it than psychologists or researchers, because it's sort of an intuitive thing with them.
Well, it's either intuitive, or they have they benefit from their knowledge, where, you know, it's like, it's incentivized for them to get better at it.
Yeah, And they are savants of the human condition.
Ooh, I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
TM, trademark. TM, Teller Morrow, trademark. I know, Zarin, that you're interested in con
you're
artists.
You're just going to drop some Sons of Anarchy on me like that and keep me, expect me to keep a straight face?
Welcome to my world. Oh,
man. You are an agent of mayhem.
I am. Yeah. Anyway, I know you're interested in con artists,
I
Zarin.
Love con art. See, it was one of my first interests, and my mother got really disappointed when I was like a 9-year-old boy. And I'm like, Mom, I'm supposed to write a paper for school. I've decided what I want to write about is the mafia. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, the other thing I wanted to write about was con artists. Which one should I write about? She's like, oh, God, this boy's going to be a lot of trouble.
So, like, you aren't the kid who's like, I want to be an astronaut.
Nope.
Like,
not once. I wanted to
I want to fleece these guys.
Completely. Everybody I thought was awesome wore, like, clothes that they wore to trick other people. I was like, that man's amazing. Look at him.
So where some kids had, like, fire trucks, excavators, mm-hmm.
I had, like
72 Cadillacs and...
Oh, yeah, no idea. I would, like, ask my mom for, like, money so I could go and play three-card Monty. I'm like, there's a three-card Monty game, Mom. Give me, like, $5. I want to see how this guy operates. She's like, you're just going to lose it. I'm like, yeah, but I want to see how he does it.
Wow.
Yeah, I was, like, dedicated to the, like, underworld crime scene.
And look at you now.
I know. Look at me now.
Chatting crime.
Maximizing on that knowledge.
So good. I want to tell you about a con artist.
Okay.
With a heart of gold.
The best kind.
Mm-hmm. He's sort of a con artist with a heart of gold, but...
Wait, which part? Sort of a con artist or sort of have a heart of gold?
Sort of has a heart of gold.
I kind of guessed that.
He's a con artist who can spin even getting caught into something good.
That's pretty much, I think, the ground level, entry level for the con artist. Is like, look, I can spin this.
Oh, yeah. Completely. Now... I want you to imagine something.
Hmm. Say I should picture it?
I would say, yeah, let's just say picture it.
Okay.
Picture it.
My eyes are closed.
A small town. It's called Colony, New York. It's a suburb of Albany. And it's late October, 1989. So the A's have won the World Series. Overcoming the Loma Prieta quake and destroying the Giants as all is now right in the world.
And getting back from that terrible Kirk Gibson home run in 88.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oops.
Yeah. We're talking Bash Brothers, baby. So it's late October 1989. There's this detective named Martin Sigzik.
Okay, good name.
And he pulls into the parking lot in front of Joffrey Oriental Rugs in Colony, New York, Albany suburb. The store owner has contacted the local police because a customer made off with two high-end rugs worth more than $22,000.
Damn.
Right? Story goes like this. There's this local psychologist. His name is Dr. Alfred P. Evans.
Dr. Fred Evans.
Yeah. Al. Fred. I don't know. Whatever.
You can call me Al.
Dr. Evans. He is very formal, Dr. Evans. So he comes into the shop a number of times over the last few months. Mm-hmm. He's new to the area. He's sort of in the process of setting up his home and his office. First time he comes into this rug shop, he admires really lovely rugs. He makes an arrangement with the shop owner to borrow some of them, and see how they look in his house and if his wife likes them.
Oh, you got to make sure that the people in your home like what you bring into it.
And so I like that he's just like, I really like those. I want to put down some serious coin. Can I just... leave them in my house for a little bit. I guess that's what you do. I don't know. I don't buy expensive rugs.
Well, business, I mean, from what I listened to a lot of old radio shows, and from what I can tell from the old radio shows, business used to be a little different in terms of like, here, take it, try it, see if you like it, and then come back if you don't. Like, there's a lot more of that, like,
small business.
Exactly. At the time when it wasn't like, I don't want to say anonymous, but you knew the person who gave you the rug and you knew where they live. So it was a little bit more responsibility.
Yeah, you're not walking into IKEA and being like,
exactly. Give me a rug.
Come on. Give this baby a test drive. Well, and I think too, it's like this guy, though, they don't know him. He's new in town, but he's Dr. Evans.
So they just extend a certain level.
Yeah, because he's, you know, this guy, he comes across super friendly, pleasant, really personable. Mm-hmm. Shop owner's like, yeah, test him out. Let me know what your wife thinks. So he brings him back and is like, you know, she's not quite happy with him. It doesn't really match what she's looking for. Let me try a couple more. But then he just stops in, you know, on the regular just to say hi. On the last visit that he made, he looks around some more and he picks out one of the most expensive rugs in the store.
Good eye.
Exactly. And the guy, you know, the shop owner feels like he knows him. So he says, yeah, here, take this. And then... I'll throw in another $5,000 rug with it. And this isn't to like test drive. He says I'm going to buy him.
Okay.
I mean, dang, right? Like, why is he throwing in a $5,000 rug on top of this?
And he's not charging him for that? That's just like, I like you. I'm going to throw that in because you bought the expensive
right.
rug.
He's
I can't
like,
move to the rest of these people.
You bought an $18,000 rug. I'm going to.
I'll throw in the five
yeah.
for free. Okay.
So Evans writes a check for the rugs, goes on his way. It's the last the store owner sees of him.
Exactly.
And of course, the check bounces.
Like a rubber ball.
Exactly. So now Detective Sicksick is in the store and he's listening to the owner just explain this whole thing. And the owner's just kicking himself. Like, how did I not see this? Sicksick says, you know, you ever seen the Mrs. Evans? Nope. And Sicksick's not surprised by the answer because mm-hmm. he's heard this story. All over town.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice. He's Dr. Evans getting busy.
Yeah. 4 months earlier, Dr. Evans arrived in Colony, New York.
This is a small town.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's like I said, it's a suburb of Albany, so that kind of bleeds into it, but it's
yeah,
a
but
very
Albany ain't
small
that big.
Community.
I mean,
yeah, that's very true. So he's living at the time an hour and a half away in Springfield, Massachusetts.
My sister used to live there. I
really?
Know that town. Yeah.
Does she know Dr. Evans?
No, but the grandkids.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Kidding.
Yeah. So he sets up his office in downtown Albany
mm-hmm.
and hires a secretary, hangs diplomas on the wall, never sees a patient.
What does he do with his time?
Well, he cruises around Albany and Colony, and he has a new Corvette. So that's like
I
a
like
thing about him.
If you're going to do it in a Chevy.
What's Dr. Evans like? Well, he has a new Corvette. He's just palling around. He's making buddies everywhere he goes. He goes to North Star Bank,
mm-hmm.
opens a checking account
okay.
with $160.
I don't know. Okay.
Whatever.
Yes.
He's befriending all these local businessmen. He's going in, he's dropping cash in stores. Like he's
sure.
making small purchases of
you
stuff. Got
to spend money to make money.
Mm-hmm. And when he goes and he buys like a little thing, like, you know, a bracelet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then he talks up to the store owner about bigger purchases.
Yes.
Oh, but you know what? I really like that Rolex. Let me check with my wife. See
con
what she
man
says.
Move. I like it.
Yeah. He's jewelry stores, coin shops, oriental rug shops, all these things. So one day he goes into the bank and he deposits two checks totaling $53,000 into his checking account.
Okay.
And the checks are from his old checking account in Cincinnati. That's under another name.
The bank or him?
The checking account was
oh, okay.
under another,
okay,
his
so
other name. Yeah.
Okay.
But the problem is there's no Cincinnati bank account anymore. It's already been closed down, but he has the checks from it and he's writing a check. And he writes those, goes on a spending spree. So.
And they don't have like check write systems. They won't know until they send the check to Cincinnati.
Right. And he's also pulled some cash out because he's palled up to the tellers.
Uh-huh,
and,
uh-huh.
you know, they're, oh, we know him. He's a local doctor.
Yeah, he's really charming. Dr. Evans.
Right. So he takes a check from that North Star account and he buys $41,000 worth of computer equipment from the Sears Computer Center.
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's a lot, right?
That's a good deal. He's got plans, is what I'm thinking.
He tells them, like, what are you going to do? It's like 10 laptops or something. He says, I'm going to be doing some research on the prison system. Wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly. Is he planning on busting people out?
Like, how to avoid the prison system. So, but also, it's like doing research. This is pre-internet for the public.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's he going to do? Just play Oregon Trail until the road
he's
runs
just
out?
Just making spreadsheets? Like
He's hauling through Excel spreadsheets like nobody's business. He writes a $51,000 check for a 4.5-carat diamond at a local jewelry store.
As one does.
I mean, what day goes by that we don't do those sort of things? He cuts a check for $31,000 for some other just like assorted gold jewelry.
This town.
Toe rings.
When he got there, they must have all thought like, oh man, I'm making out. And he's
like,
1 week later, I'm gone, y'all.
Exactly. He tricked a coin dealer into taking a check for over $31,000 in exchange for 80 maple leaf coins.
Wait, the maple leaf, those are the gold ones?
Yeah, they're gold.
Okay. Maple leaf gold coins.
Yeah.
Wow.
Coin dealer says Evans would have, he says to him, like, you know, I'm going to have to wait until your check clears, you know, mm-hmm. to give you these coins. Evans is like, no problem. And he's just chatting up everyone in the coin shop and the dealer, he'd set the coins on the counter
mm-hmm.
and Evans pulls out the check. And the dealer goes down to the other end of the store to help someone. And the customer that Evans is chumming up to they're chatting. He says, look, you know, because that customer hadn't heard the whole thing about he got to wait till the check clears. So he's like, look, I got to get back to the hospital. Can you give him this check? Signs it, hands it over, takes the coins, bounces out. And off he goes.
I've got to get back to the hospital.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, my pager. Yeah. And so there's Detective Sik-Sik at the rug shop. It's got all these local merchants who are just like been screwed by this doctor. Doctor's not in his office, nowhere to be found. There's all this stuff. The wife, no one's ever seen her.
Mm-hmm.
Sik-Sik knows a con artist when he sees one.
Or when he hears about one.
Right. He also knows that a con that's this swift and mm-hmm. strategic is not going to be a one-off. So Evans messed with the wrong Sik-Sik. So let's take an ad break. And when we get back, I'll let you know what the good detective did next.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
So when we left off, Detective Sik-Sik was faced with a bunch of crimes in Colony, New York, a suburb of Albany.
Mm-hmm.
There's this man, Dr. Alfred Evans, comes to town, sets up a psychologist practice. And remember, he never saw any patients.
And we never saw his wife.
He made pals, mm-hmm. spent a little cash. In a two-day period, he makes fake deposits at the bank and writes bad checks for more than $148,000 worth of stuff.
I was wondering. I'm sitting here trying to do like the math in my head from what
I'll
you said, but
math.
I couldn't keep them all
I'll
in
do
my
it
head.
For you.
So thank you.
148.
Dang.
Then he's gone. So Sik-Sik knows that, you know, someone had to have some experience to pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
And that it couldn't be just a local crime. It's not like a local guy who's like, I know what I'm going to do, you know?
Oh, yeah. And this isn't also like somebody who's like, I'm blowing this town. Like, this is going to be my road money. This right. is not that movie.
Yeah.
Either.
So Sik-Sik had heard of this program called MAGLOCKLIN.
I'm going to say what again?
It's MAGLOCKLEN, MAGLOCKLIN.
Does that stand for something? Or
it
is that
does.
A word?
It's the Middle Atlantic Great Lakes Organized Crime Law Enforcement Network.
Someone's like, we got this new task force. We're going to call it MAGLOCKLIN.
They're like, you guys, there's this new thing
what?
Called acronyms.
Yeah, exactly.
You can I'm going to push it. I'm redlining on the acronym here. And what that is it's what's called an RISS.
I don't know what that
God
is.
God bless an acronym. It's a regional information sharing system.
Okay.
And
so basically a network of cops.
Completely. Okay. It's a network for law enforcement agencies, local, state, federal, tribal, in this case for McLaughlin. It's Delaware, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, District of Columbia.
That's an odd mix. It's like kind of like the Delmarva area and then the Great Lakes.
Yeah, it's a weird little, but you know, there are six of these that in the nation, they divide the country up into six sections.
Oh, interesting.
And like the Texas one's gigantic, covers most of the South and stuff. So they share information and they track criminal activity and trends.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's a good to have that information sharing. You always hear the stories of like jurisdictions not sharing information.
It's been a big problem.
So Sigzik, he puts his case analysis into McLaughlin and then it starts processing it. He takes everything that happened in Colony with Dr. Evans. The system spits out 12 similar cases. And they start in Asheville, North Carolina in 1987. In every single case, the guy comes into town as a psychologist, sets up an office, hires a secretary, gets an answering service, puts fake diplomas on the wall, and like would spend a couple of months making friends, palling around, spending a little money, exactly like he did in Colony.
Mm-hmm.
In each case, he also bought a bunch of computer equipment. And sometimes he would take out classified ads trying to flip that computer equipment.
I was wondering if it was for something or if it was just good value for him. So yeah, he knows something the rest don't know. Okay.
Right. And so he's getting, you know, all this expensive computer equipment and then flipping it around.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it was like to be the secretary? That's my question.
A lot of reading time.
He would hire him from local employment agencies. So they show up. He has them sit at like the front desk at the office. I'm sure there's like filing cabinets. Are they empty? Just blank paper?
Stapler with no staples.
I mean, I'm kind of just based on the position and the time, I'm guessing it's a young woman he hires, right?
Yeah, I mean, usually unless you're really rich and you're traveling on ocean liners, you don't have a male secretary.
Right, so she just sits there all day and does what? Like, does the phone ever ring?
Probably, yeah, I'm probably guessing not.
Is it weird for her that there are no patients coming in?
Once again, probably guessing not. She's like, oh, this is a great job.
Does she think it's a drug front?
Well, you know, there you go. That's a consideration. How smart is she?
Is she like, I have lucked into the absolute easiest 3-month secretary gig ever.
I think she saved the 3-month part. Yes. She's like, I've lucked into the easiest secretary gig ever.
Well, and then did she ever get paid?
Like, I'm guessing no.
Yeah. So is he supposed to, I suppose in those cases, he's supposed to pay the agency.
Well, he probably paid her, you know, the initial 2 weeks and then the second 2 weeks, the third 2 weeks, the fourth 2 weeks maybe. And then after that, he's going to get a little questionable.
Right. But those are
so
a lot.
So she probably
of
got paid for 2 months, maybe 2.5 months.
2 months of just sitting there doing the crossword. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
She got time to invest in her.
Exactly. I still have a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyway, con artist, he hits up cities in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, California, Nevada, Massachusetts, Maine. He's everywhere.
Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental, and I'm not trying to disparage these states, but I often find it interesting when a con man or con artist decides like, oh, these are the states I'm going to hit. And I look at the list and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
But here's what's curious with this is that some of the places that he hits, like in North Carolina, it was in Asheville, and that's a college town.
Yeah.
And
now it's
and
a big theater town.
Very art, you know,
artsy
town with people who would, you know, think that they were more progressive and intellectual. And Georgia was in Athens, another
also
college town.
Yep.
So he's kind of, you can see like a little trend. I don't know where he was in the other places. He did go before he got to Colony, he was in Cincinnati, Ohio.
And in Nevada, Reno was a college town. So
we say loosely. He's in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. We know that's where he was before he got to Colony. And that was back in 86. He shows up in Cincinnati calling himself Dr. John Anderson.
Dr. Anderson.
Right. That's what I kept thinking. So he runs his con there with the office and the diploma and the friend making. And he really chums up with this guy, Michael Wills, a local coin dealer.
Okay.
So he talks to him a lot about buying large quantities of gold coins.
who doesn't? You know, if you're going to chat up a coin dealer, it's going to be like, if we're pushing gold, what kind of weight could we get around here?
I'm curious about buying a lot of gold from you. Huge. Yeah.
I'm talking tonnage. You know, like I want boatloads of gold coming in.
So He's, you know, he just goes and chats with him. Mm-hmm. Why this isn't suspicious to the coin dealer of this guy I've never met before comes in, introduces himself, and just wants to talk about.
I'm guessing he's lonely. He's a coin dealer. So maybe there are not a lot of people who are coming in going like in 1986, hey, man, I got this double eagle. What's it worth?
You know? Because he wants to butter him up, though. So Dr. Anderson, Dr. Evans, he asks Wills to speak at a physician's investing group at the children's hospital where he supposedly works.
So these imaginary doctors at the children's hospital are going to want to hear what a coin dealer has to say about investing in the future of gold.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And this guy goes for this.
Yeah.
And yet no doctor has ever come in and talked to him prior. He's like, no, this is a big growth area, man. These doctors, they would be into gold and silver. What else you got? Right. You got platinum? They love that stuff.
Well, I mean, don't you think that as Evans/Anderson is buttering up Wills, he's like, God, you know so much about investing. Mm-hmm. You should come and talk. And Wills is thinking, finally,
I'm being appreciated.
Someone appreciates this knowledge that I have to share.
This, honestly, when I was a young man learning about con artists, it taught me a lot about humans and what motivates them, because con artists get this. And the short part of con artists is it's short for confidence.
Yep.
So they will play on a person's confidence and they will let you believe that, like, oh, I am interesting. Oh, I am a really knowledgeable person. And hey, I got good ideas. The person's like, oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah. Totally. You should meet my imaginary doctors at this children's hospital.
Well, I'm going to break it to you. There's no investing group.
What? I am shocked. Please take a picture of my face so I can see what I look like when I am shocked.
Evans/Anderson winds up ordering $30,000 worth of gold coins from Wills. And Wills is like, that's great. I'm so glad that we're in business together. I'm going to bring those coins to the hospital to give them to you in 2 days' time when I do my speaking engagement to your investor group.
So let me meet you out front, and then we'll get you parked. And
Evans is like, great. Yeah, come speak to the investor group and bring the coins. It's perfect. So 2 days later, Will shows up at the hospital bright and early. Evans/Anderson meets him at the entrance, takes him to a private room where Wills can hand him the coins.
He does the thing. He meets him at the entrance. See, yeah. I watched enough of like...
He let him get in the building.
Yeah, this is like a Rockford Files plot.
The Evans was in the elevator and Wills goes to get in. He's like, oh, hey.
No, this literally is like Rockford Files plots. I watch how con artists do it. They stand in the building and they come out like they're talking to somebody.
And that's
like,
what he did. Yeah. That's what he did, because then he was like, all right, catch you later to some doctors who were like, all right.
That literally, this is amazing. He must watch the same Rockford Files I do.
He does. So Evans/Anderson, he gets Wills in this room, gets the coins from him. He's like, you know, they let me use a safe upstairs in the hospital, so I'm going to go put these coins in the safe. If you could just sit tight, BRB, going to be right back. So Wills is like, all right.
Cool.
And he sits there.
Yeah. He's like, do you have a coffee machine? I can get maybe a little hot Java.
And he keeps waiting.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting there. And then he finally gets tired of waiting.
As the seasons change.
So he goes up to a desk nurse and says, can you page Dr. Anderson? And she says, don't you see? Dr. Anderson's the mother. No, there's no Dr. Anderson.
Yeah. She's like, what are you talking about, Dr. Anderson? Dr. Who now?
Dr. Who now? And the what's it? What's his bucket? Dr. Anderson. No, we don't have one named that. And so from there, the phony doctor takes off to Colony.
And I'm out.
And I'm out. So in Colony, as Dr. Evans, he deposited the checks from Dr. Anderson in Cincinnati, plus the mother from a Dr. Miller.
Oh, you're going to mix it up, you know.
And he gets to know the tellers. Like I said, they trust him. They have confidence in him.
One question. The checks, they're from a Dr. Miller.
Uh-huh.
So he's taking the money out of the one account that he has it going into and then moving it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep up with this.
So they give him cash before the larger checks are clearing because they're like, oh, he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And, you
know. Of course. Yeah.
But the buck stopped in Colony with old Sick-Zick. Sick-Zick had the entire region aware of this guy now. Like, because he's plugged him into the McLaughlin group.
Come with it, Sick-Zick.
The McLaughlin group now, it's over. Sick-Zick was tireless in tracking this guy. 2 years. 2 years he spent tracing where he had been and then finding new instances where he would pop up. And it was like he was always like 2 weeks behind him. So he finds out that he called himself Dr. Evans, Dr. Anderson, Dr. Miller, Dr. Brown. he has a ton of bank accounts. There's all like just all these items that he has essentially stolen over the years.
This feels like a Tom Hanks movie. Like he's sick.
Just wait.
Okay.
So on October 30th, 1991, the TV show Unsolved Mysteries did a segment on the con artist.
Okay.
And the part where Wills gets ditched in the room in the basement of the hospital is really funny.
Okay, Unsolved Mysteries, I'll check it.
Because the actual Mike Wills plays himself in the reenactment.
That is priceless. See, Jackie Robinson's his own life story?
Completely. He talks about how he fell for everything because the guy said he was a doctor and he was so sure of himself. He was confident.
There it is.
And he's just so honest and transparent about how he got conned.
Yeah, also, not that I feel bad.
But he's a good actor, too.
Oh, that's good for him. Really maybe he has a future there.
The best part is when he's just, like, sitting in the room by himself.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I feel like this guy has some loneliness issues, and I bet he's a really good and kind and decent guy, too. That's the damn shame of it all.
Completely. And so the episode showed photos of the guy and listed all the aliases, and it paid off.
Nice! Right? Look at y'all!
January 20th, 1992. Roanoke, Virginia. Imagine it.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Can I take a pass?
The FBI office there gets a tip that there's a man calling himself Dr. Alfred P. Evans. Hadn't switched up the name.
That's the big mistake.
Staying at the local Days Inn.
I bet he was doing it because he hadn't cleared the money yet. He needed the old identity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, and he was using other people's. He was taking social security numbers from people in retirement homes, and then some of them he was using his actual social security number. And
yeah, and you can also, I'm not going to tell people. There are other ways to get social security numbers.
They have to pay $9.95 for you to get them this booklet.
Let's just say it involves the children.
Yeah, that's, So the feds swoop in and they pick him up at the Days Inn Motel. And he had a ton of evidence on him. So they arrest him and they run his prints. And they get a hit.
Oh, he didn't like iron off his prints? Not a professional.
They knew this guy's name and his story.
Okay.
Now, let's take a break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about a man named Michael Sabo.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
So who is Michael Sabo?
Peter Sabo's brother.
Yes. Michael John Sabo.
Was I close?
No.
Damn.
Was born in 1945.
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
You haven't been taking notes?
No. Can we talk about Chris Sabo? I know about him. I don't know this whole Michael Sabo. The 1990 Reds, like that, you can quiz me on. No?
Right, but I'm trying to educate you about Michael Sabo.
Can I educate you about Norm Charlton and his bad haircuts?
No.
Okay, fine. You go.
Michael Sabo, born in 1945 in Pennsylvania.
Great state.
Right? At some point in the 70s, he's found guilty of interstate transportation of forged securities, stocks, and bonds.
Now, I just want to know, did he forge securities, forge stocks, and forge
all
bonds?
Of them.
He's just like, I'm
all
about
of them.
It.
He's all, this is because I got a pants full of bearer bonds.
What are the bearer bonds? Like, has anyone ever actually seen a bearer bond? Ever since Die Hard, I've always wanted to know what a damn bearer bond is. Yeah. And everyone's like, these are German bearer bonds. I'm like, I don't think those are real. I've never seen these on Rockford Files.
It just sounds so good. Doesn't it sound so official?
It does.
So he gets sentenced to 8 years at Allenwood Federal Prison Camp in Pennsylvania.
Good prison.
Are you familiar with the various types of federal facilities?
Actually, I am it doesn't matter. But go on.
I'm intimately familiar with them.
Oh, that's true. You actually have worked. You
know? I used to get out on a Monday night and go right back in the next day.
Dang.
Yeah. I taught college courses at a federal prison. And it was by far the best teaching experience of my life.
Oh,
best students I ever had.
I totally can see that.
Where I taught, the facility was split into two parts. There was the yard and the camp.
Mm-hmm.
The yard is like your traditional notion of a prison. It's a fortress.
Yeah.
And cell blocks. Mm-hmm. You had to go through those man trap security doorways, the double things, gun towers. Like I'd go in, be signed in at the front. Go through security, get escorted across the yard to the education building, teach my class, get escorted back through the yard to the front entrance, sign out, head home. Super tight regulation on everything. I couldn't have any metal at all in any of my clothing.
So no underwire bras?
Nope.
No, like, shoelaces with metal laces?
Well, I had the metal shoelaces.
Trying to see if you're paying attention,
Dutton. I had to
weld
myself in and out of my shoes every day. Like, well, there were, like, colors you couldn't wear. I used to wear a lot of olive green, and you can't wear it because they wear olive. Some of the inmates are wearing olive, and so I just, you know. Blend
like,
right
why
in.
Couldn't it be orange? I don't wear a lot of orange.
Right, exactly. So everything's super controlled. No cell phones or electronics. There was a big thing about Apple Watches when I was there because you couldn't just have that as your watch. But we didn't have a clock in the classroom, so I had to had to keep my watch on. Anyhow, so that's where I taught night classes, was in the yard.
That's cool.
Now, the classes during the day were at a different student cohort, but at the same location.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the camp, which was like across the parking lot from
lower
the main.
Lower security and...
Yeah. So it's separate from the fortress area. And in those days, like, I drove up to the camp building, parked, got out. The person managing the education department that day would come out, let me into the building. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't get security, nothing.
Huh.
And then they would go back to their office and I would just like cruise down the hall to my classroom. Someone would be like in the art room playing the guitar. I'd be like, hey, what's up?
So this is like the white collar section of
Completely.
The prison?
Completely. Okay. Yeah. Well, and they would get in there because of like whichever crime, like if they had a, you know, milder crime, I suppose, but then also good.
Without enhancements, I imagine?
Yeah. Okay. No enhancements. And good behavior. Uh-huh. And so they become like a trustee.
Okay.
And the inmates at the camp all had jobs. So like cooking in the main building, they did landscaping, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no giant fence around the whole thing. So it's possible for these guys to just like walk away, I suppose, if they wanted to.
Now, I imagine though, this is in the Carolinas. So this is surrounding by the woods.
Yeah. And so it's thick woods all around it. And there's like a road that circles the whole property.
Mm-hmm,
and
totally.
Continuously all day long, there's a pickup truck with two dudes with shotguns in it circling around.
Oh, like so Cool Hand Luke style.
Yeah, that keeps you from just strolling off. I had a student who arranged a little rendezvous with a lady in the woods and got caught.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. And so they put him in solitary and then just transferred him to another facility.
I hope it was worth it.
Who knows? So, but yeah, he went out into the woods, but he didn't leave completely.
like, why not go all the way?
Right?
If you're going to break out.
Break for the highway.
He's like, look, I just needed to get into something and I'll be good.
Exactly. And I'll pop back up. So Sabo is at the camp part of the prison and he had a lot of opportunities to bounce out. And in 1979, he took one.
I'm guessing he did.
Yeah. Just strolled. He was on the run for 13 years.
Yes, my
13
man.
13 years. And in those 13 years, he did the following.
All right, hit me with it.
He posed not just as a doctor and psychologist, but also as an airline pilot.
Oh, God.
When he was on a flight from New York to Miami, he said he was an airline pilot and sat behind the controls of a 727 100 series jet with 120 people on board.
I pray to God he was not the only pilot.
We couldn't have
like, I know that usually they're off and they're running on autopilot, so he probably didn't have to do much other than land or take off.
But I'm really hoping. He just sat there and drank coffee and made small talk.
Is it lasagna or steak on the flight today?
The inflatable pilot popped up
next to
him. Exactly.
I'm having total airplane.
I know. He had uniforms for TWA, Delta, United that he would wear.
I like his commitment.
It was a good way to gain confidence and trust. You know, you dress as a pilot.
I thought you meant it's a good way to gain confidence.
For himself.
I got this uniform. I feel like more of a man. So
he was feeling really insecure and untethered after he fled the prison camp.
Exactly.
And he's
I don't know who I am.
I just want to be proud of
role.
Me.
I need somewhere in society to be. I'm a captain now. I'm the captain now.
I'm worth something. Yeah, no, so that other people would be confident in
him. Okay, gotcha.
Gain their trust.
Right, con man, got it.
He delivered a baby while acting as a doctor in a Texas hospital.
You gotta set me up on that. He just jumps right into it. He's in a room delivering babies.
Yeah,
okay.
And I like to imagine he walks down the hall, hears the lady screaming, goes in with a catcher's
mitt. Takes off his pilot's uniform.
Yeah, in a pilot's uniform with a white coat over it.
He's I'm gonna get some scrubs. Just
takes the catcher's mitt, grabs the baby. And is high five someone and then tosses it to the nurse and keeps walking.
Oh, dude, my sister had a kid, her second kid, and the kid came out and there was a nurse there who was a friend of the family who was in the room. And the kid came out so fast because my sister's pretty strong. So maybe she put a little English on it. So she squeezed that kid out and the nurse is supposed to catch the kid. The nurse faints. This is a nurse who's a nurse for 20 something years and basically almost has the baby drop. Luckily, the baby basically lands on her as she faints.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
I wonder what else was going on in the nurse's life.
I do too.
So he delivers the baby and it winked at him. And then he won a case while impersonating an attorney in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I mean, who hasn't done that?
Of course. He became a deputy sheriff in a South Carolina jail 6 weeks after he escaped from the federal prison in Pennsylvania.
That is amazing on two levels. One, he escaped a federal prison. And then his thought is, you know what? I should probably become a cop. And I should, at least a fake cop.
Just work through some
I'll
of these
I'll go back
issues.
Into a jail. They would never look for me there.
He puts the pilot's uniform on and then the South Carolina jail deputy uniform on top of that. So he has that inner confidence.
Exactly.
But he's I got to work through
personal
these issues
esteem,
first.
Social esteem.
He posed as an army colonel and a navy commander. Now he
at
had
the
been
same
in
time, just half a uniform,
split down the middle, those people who are fans of two teams.
Yeah, exactly. When their parents on have, yeah. they have kids on either team, front of the uniform is navy.
He had been in the army when he was younger, but that doesn't mean he can pretend to be a colonel or a navy commander.
He knows some of the language.
He pretended to be a gold and diamond dealer.
Well, this one I do believe because he spent a lot of time with.
He got executive status for blue chip companies while he was employed as a mortgage loan officer for Lincoln Savings and Loan.
Lincoln Savings and Loan, little known fun fact, is a big part of the savings and loan disaster.
It's
Michael Milken and all.
Yes. Exactly. Which is a perfect, of course he's at
yeah,
Lincoln
he's like,
Savings.
I'm going to go to Birds of a Feather Flocking Together.
So he also went to Florida and got 8 different plastic surgery procedures done.
Oh, wow.
He had facelift, cheek implants. He rearranged his whole visage.
Wow. So he's one of those old Robert Mitchum movies. Uh-huh. Where he's I've got the total thing. I'm now a new person.
Oh, yeah. And then it's he probably went and got one of those free, what do they call that when the pilot flies?
Or what is it? Deadheading.
Deadheading. That's yeah. So he's got a face wrapped in gauze and he's got the whole pilot's uniform with the
He looks
hat.
Like the Invisible Man, but in a pilot's uniform.
And they're what happened? He's like, I can't talk about it. Yeah.
We lost one in Macho Grande.
I have a drinking problem. So he's all jazzed up on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quoted as saying, I never used force on anybody. My personality and non-criminal look helped me get in the door a lot. The only time I ever had a gun in my hand was when I was in the military. I bought suits and tried to play that role.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
So, 1992.
Good year.
He's arrested by the FBI in Virginia.
Okay.
And he was convicted of grand larceny for the Colony New York stuff. He got
They catch up to him.
Oh, yeah. No, they said the FBI gets him.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they catch up to him. They're like, oh, brother, we got you on
Well, they ran his prints, and then they had, like, you know, they were able to connect the dots, and he had evidence on him. So he gets 2 to 6 years for the stuff in Colony that Sigzik caught him on.
Okay.
He goes to New York's Sullivan Correctional Facility. Maximum security. And there he meets David, son of Sam Berkowitz.
I was about to say, I thought I remembered hearing Sullivan Correctional Facilities where they sent some of the harder cases.
And that's where he goes. But it's also because it's like, well, we know this guy's, he's a floater. He'll take off. So we're gonna lock him in. So he pleads guilty to the original prison escape and does some time for that, 27 months for that. He gets convicted of bank fraud, forgery, grand larceny, identity theft in 5 different states.
Did the fashion police come after him too? I mean, everybody's hitting him.
Well, those uniforms look sharp, so no. And he serves his time in those 5 states in federal and state lockups, and he's released in October of 2009.
Whoa. So he was spent like all of the late 90s and early aughts behind bars.
He missed out on
a lot of good fun.
Mm-hmm. And then he moves to Kentucky and sells cars.
As one
goes
does.
Goes straight.
You know,
and he said, like, you know,
straight.
He had to go and get, he had to pay taxes and get credit cards in his own name. And when he went to the Social Security office to get everything ironed out, they had like 5 different names associated with his Social Security number. And so he went through all of that. Like,
look,
no, I paid my dues.
That happens. I made a mistake once. That happens. Okay.
So he may not have been a con artist in the legal sense of the word after that, but he still was a savant of the human condition. So he starts, the first thing he does, he's selling cars at a car dealership, but he starts 2 companies, American Identity Theft Recovery and Identity Theft Watch.
As a wolf, let me tell you how to keep your sheep safe.
Precisely. He said he did this, but there's no record of these companies. So I don't know if he was like, give me your Social Security number and I'll go see if anyone else has it. Yeah. Be right back. Wait in this hospital private room.
I'm going to go check all your personal information and the bank information you gave me. Thank you for that, by the way.
And he said, you know, that my goal is to save others from people like me. And I don't know how that shook out for him. Then the next company he starts is a company called Prison Consultants of America.
Go with what you know, you know?
Yeah, exactly. The website for it isn't active anymore, but you can find it in the archive. And he dissolved that company a year later, but this is how he sold his services. I'm going to give you some quotes here.
Oh, hit me with them.
He said that his time served, quote, left him with an intimate understanding of the strategies required to navigate the federal prison system, as well as the critical need for support when facing incarceration. He created this company to better prepare people like yourself for the crisis you are facing. Let us help you take control during your incarceration phase. We specialize in consulting white-collar, drug, and sex offenders. Our staff of trained professionals will present you with options from various Bureau of Prisons programs on how to best navigate the system. We will also instruct you and your loved ones on what to expect during your incarceration. We want to educate you prior to and during custody to help alleviate your concerns, fears, and worries regarding imprisonment.
This seems familiar.
Right? It's like that Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell movie, Get Hard.
That's what I was thinking
It's
of.
A really problematic movie, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, God, yeah. That movie. They shoehorned some crap into that one.
Oh, wee. It was in 2015, that movie, so Sabo didn't rip that off.
No, he's definitely pre-Get Hard. I mean, he basically was like, look, y'all, get Sabo.
Exactly. Now, on that same defunct website, he claims that Steven Spielberg approached him about using his life for the 2002 film Catch Me If You Can.
Frank Abagnale's going to be a little pissed
at
that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And so, like Frank Abagnale, Abagnale?
Yeah, I pronounced it wrong.
Abigail, yeah. Frank.
I'm not the best on Italian names because the G and the M near each other.
I'm horrible with just names.
Okay, fair enough. My own often.
So Frank had a loose, relationship with the truth. So did Michael Sabo. Sabo said that he couldn't do the movie. He couldn't authorize the movie because he was wanted by law enforcement officials across the U.S. And so that's why he couldn't agree and sell the rights to his story.
I think that only counts if you're actually in jail or prison.
It's weird.
You can't benefit from the crime, right?
That's exactly what I told Spielberg when he approached me to use my life for his 2012 film Lincoln.
And I did the exact same thing when he approached me about E.T.
Oh, my God.
I was the little boy who found the alien.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you had to tell him, look, I'm wanted. I can't tell you.
Well, no, actually, why I said, like, I can't tell you because I left the planet and I signed these legal documents with E.T.'s people. And then, you know.
It's too much.
You don't want to mess
it's
with those.
It's too complicated.
Interstellar lawyers are a nightmare.
Yeah. And Spielberg gets that.
He's a very compassionate man.
Yeah, he is. So we know. We don't know where Michael Sabo is now.
But we know where Steven Spielberg is.
We do know where let me check my Find My Friend. So Sabo, who knows? He's been to lots of places. He's been lots of people. But, you know, who's to say?
Oh, he literally is just gone. He's off the grid.
Well,
nobody
know.
Knows where he is. He
I
could be
know.
Alive, could be dead. He could be in Texas, could be in Tunisia.
What if I ripped off a face mask?
And you're Michael Sabo.
I happen to be wearing a pilot's outfit right now.
Exactly. So I was wondering why you had all of your badges on you.
What's your ridiculous takeaway here?
Oh, man. Basically, I know this is going to be really petty, but if you are a con artist and you go to a new town, don't use your old identity. Like, just really commit to the bit and just keep it going. Because that seems to be a real place that he got caught, is that he got a little greedy on the, like, I need to move these funds and need to move these funds. If he would have waited a little bit, he could be just raking it in crypto and NFTs. But no, he had to go greedy in the 90s. Wrong time to be greedy.
Well, and he created a lot of links in the chain by jumping from, I mean, I understand that he had to use the defunct bank account checks to open.
Sure.
But like, that just connected him from
exactly.
City.
It literally became a paper trail. And by the way, you said he's still alive. We assume,
I don't know.
Or possibly,
who knows?
But we don't know where he is. I'd be willing to bet you he is definitely knee deep in some crypto right now.
Oh, completely. Yeah, if he's kicking it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a space made for this kind of stuff. Like, as somebody who studied con artistry.
Well, I thought about that a lot, too, is that he was really lucky to be doing this in the pre-internet age.
Like, oh, completely.
It allowed him a lot of stuff that you can't get away with now.
Well, but yeah, I think he would have just upped his game and gotten away with new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. I think the coolest guy here is Detective Martin Siksik.
Oh, yeah.
Dog with a bone, baby. He later retired to Florida, and I was really happy for him with that.
I am too. It's good place.
It's fun for him.
Good place to bury a bone.
Exactly. That's it. That's all I have. It's, you can find us online. Did you know that, Zarin? At Ridiculous Crime.
Oh, you're still talking to me?
Of course, always. We're on the Twitters and the Gram. At Ridiculous Crime. If you have a tip for us about a ridiculous crime, or you want to confess to one, you can email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com.net.biz. Tune in next time, friends.
And neighbors, Romans, countrymen. We'll be here.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Dr. Dave Evans Anderson Miller Kustin. Research is by Dutch Krugerrand specialist Marissa Brown. The theme song is by local businessmen Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Executive producers are Special Agent Ben Bolin and Senior Detective Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro? Amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Variety is back with its annual Entertainment Marketing Summit on April 24th at the luxurious Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. This must-attend event for entertainment marketers will feature conversations with leaders from Netflix, Paramount, Activision, Mattel, LA Rams, Google, and more. Plus, an exclusive keynote conversation with Paris Hilton. The networking opportunities are unbeatable. And once you register, you can start chatting with other registrants to plan a meetup at the lunch or cocktail hour. Limited tickets are available, so secure your spot today at events.variety.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.